In many ways, this is one of my favorite times of year. I love the happiness that I see with children as they expect presents and all the magic that comes around the holiday season. I love the fact that there's a lot of football to watch. I love the fact that a lot of family time is scheduled for all of us to be together. It's really just a great time of year. And I love the old hymns that we sing, you know, like Joy to the World and Hark the Herald Angels Sing and all these songs that are revolving around just the triumph of God's kingdom and the reign of Christ and all that just is sort of culminating here in the darkness of the wintertime. But this podcast today is going to talk a little bit about the opposite of the joy and the happiness and the hope that is so often associated with Christmas time and with the holiday season. Because the fact of the matter is, I know that there are a lot of people who this time of year, especially Thanksgiving, Christmas, holidays are very difficult. Maybe this year was your first year to have a Thanksgiving without someone you love. Maybe this will be your first Christmas after going through a divorce or having something else happen in your life that has just changed everything. And so what happens is if you have naively been celebrating these holidays and everyone's there, and it's just like you always remember, you know, when you were a kid and everything's just perfect. Let me just share with you how difficult this can be. Now, we've all lost a grandparent. We've all lost perhaps maybe someone else close to us, and we can relate in some ways. But when this really hit home for me, and I've never talked about this publicly, so I want to share this with you. The first Christmas that I was a divorcee, the first time that I did Christmas as a single person after having been married, was one of the hardest things I ever went through. And let me tell you what was probably the hardest. And this is going to seem silly, and I never would have thought of this, and I never would have processed it. But looking back now, I can see why it hurt and why it was so hard. The most difficult thing about my first Christmas alone was getting the Christmas cards. I think they've just about fallen off the map now, but there for a while, people would send out Christmas cards with pictures of their families and, you know, have a happy, you know, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year or Happy Holidays, whatever it would. But it would be a picture of this happy family. Everyone's hugging, everyone's smiling. And I remember the first year after going through this hardship in my life and having this heartbreak, I was so angry every time I got one of those cards. And I've never told a lot of my friends this, probably never told most or anyone this, but to some of my friends who sent me those cards, I hate to tell you, I didn't save them. Some of them I ripped in half, threw in the trash can. I didn't put them on the refrigerator because at that point in time, in my pain and in my suffering, I did not want to share every day in their happiness. I resented it. Now, looking back on that, I see that I was in a stage of grief, that anger stage. And I was going through a process there where I was dealing with my own personal loss and emotions. Maybe you've gone through something like that this year. Maybe you've gone through the death of someone, a spouse or a child or a parent, a grandparent, whatever it might be. Maybe you've gone through a job loss. Maybe something else is going on in your life where everyone's singing and happy this holiday season, but you're just really struggling to get through. First of all, let me just say, if that's the case for you, I'm so sorry you're struggling, because I know that the happiness that everyone else experiences for whatever reason just feels like salt in the wounds to your pain. I never understood that until I experienced it, and now I realize how bitter it can make us. And Satan uses things like this to attack us. There's no doubt in my mind. He uses things like this to move us towards resenting God, resenting faith. It calls us to, causes us to sort of shrink in our faith and to shrink back into ourselves. And it can really be detrimental to us long term, not only physically, but spiritually. And so the podcast today, for the next few minutes, what I want to talk about is if you're going through a difficult holiday, first of all, I want you to know I prayed for you. And we'll pray for you as I'm making this podcast, and my heart is very large for you. I feel where you are, and I hope that God will bless you and help you through this. And I know that He will, because I've made it through, and many others have as well. Well, I want to share with you, I found in an article in Psychology Today, published in November of this year, entitled Dealing with Loss After the Holidays, written by Gail Gross. She puts like seven things down here that you need to do to help you get through this. And I think this is good advice, so I'll put it out there. You can search the article. You can read, you know, dozens of them like it on the internet right there at your fingertips. You know, one of the first things she says is you must take care of your physical needs. You know, drink plenty of water, eat good food, make sure you're taking your medicines, et cetera, et cetera. Kind of seems like a basic thing, but one of the things that can happen to us when we're in the stages of grief, one of the things that can happen to us when we're struggling, especially around the holidays, is we just don't take care of ourselves. We don't eat right. We don't sleep right. We don't do the things we do. That's actually the next thing she says is get plenty of sleep. And so make sure you're staying on a good sleep cycle. It can be hard to sleep when you're grieving. But you need to make sure you're doing your best to do that. The third thing she says is keep your body moving. You know, go for a walk, get to exercise, you know, don't just sit there because what'll happen is actually stagnation will actually aid your depression and make it larger. It will make it bigger. The next thing she says is stay away from things like alcohol, drugs, etc. You know, we can turn to a lot of bad habits and a lot of bad things to try to numb that pain. And so we want to be careful that we're not doing that. The fifth thing she says is do your best and be kind to yourself. You know, you're already in a stressful time. You're already struggling. So just be you and don't be too critical of yourself. Don't say, oh, well, I should be doing better. No, you're doing great where you're at. You're making it. It's okay. Just be kind to yourself. Give yourself a break. The sixth thing she says is take some interior time for yourself. And what this means is, you know, you're taking care of your body, your sleep, your moving, et cetera. Now take care of your brain, take care of your inside, you know, meditation, prayer, journaling, et cetera. And the final thing she mentions is to get a grief counselor, get someone to talk to and make sure you and your family can get through this process. Now, I think all of these are great. I think they're important. But I'm talking on a preacher podcast. We come at things from a spiritual level. And so I want to also talk a little bit about the aspect of our lives that can suffer the most when we're going through a situation like this. And that is our spiritual health and our spiritual well-being during this time, our faith in God. And what happens, unfortunately, for a lot of people is when there's that death or that divorce or something, you know, terrible happens, there's an illness, whatever it might be, that's causing us to not be normal and life isn't well. And this can be absolutely amplified during the holidays. What can happen is it actually causes us to draw away from God. And so I want to give you a few things, just four quick things that you need to do that I was able to do and with some help that got me back and preserved my faith and has now made me a better person, I believe. And I think same thing can be true for you. So the first one is don't forsake your spiritual health. Okay. So number one for her, don't forsake your physical health. Take your medicine, eat your food. Guess what? Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. And you need to be a person during this time. It's a time to really nourish your soul. You know, in John chapter 6, verses 31 through 35, Jesus is questioned there. Someone says, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. And Jesus returned and said, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Looking back in hindsight, I was probably one of the best Bible students that I've ever been in my life during my times of grief and loss. I really wanted to dig down into my faith. I really found it necessary to lean on God. My prayer life deepened as it never had. And I never had felt that I needed God as much as I did in those moments. Remember, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, you probably have a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst if you're going through this loss and you feel empty. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. If you're in that situation, make sure you're feeding your soul, your spirit. Don't forsake your spiritual health. Spend time in prayer, deep prayer. Take time, make time to study the Bible and get into the Word of God and feast on the Word of God. Make sure and strengthen your relationship with Jesus and with the Father, with with God and with His family. All of these things are so incredibly important. That's number one. Don't forsake your spiritual health because it's easy to do. Number two, you know, she said, keep active, get out, get moving. Well, keep your faith active. I've always been so impressed with Job. He finds out that his financial wealth has been taken away from him, all his structures, his buildings, his herds, etc. All this stuff's taken away from him in a moment, and his children are taken away from him. And this is what Job 1, 20 and 21 says. It says, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How in the world did Job find the heart and the soul to worship in that moment? I've always wondered that. It seems almost impossible. And yet some of the most deep and rich experiences of worship in my own life have been at those times when my heart was broken. Remember, David said that the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. Now, he's speaking of his own sin and repentance, that he had committed the sin with Bathsheba in Psalm 51. But the sacrifices of the Lord are this broken and contrite heart. And from a broken heart, you can worship and connect with God in a way that maybe you never have before. Also, beyond just worshiping God, keeping your faith active, it's a really good time if you're struggling to get out and serve, to put your faith into action. You know, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, Acts chapter 20. And so it might be a really good time to take some baskets to some shut-in people. It might be a good time to go visit some people who are sick or had recently had surgeries. It might be a good time to go and get involved in some other ministry. And what this is doing is, number one, you're making your faith active. You're exercising that faith and keeping it in good health because it's going to need to be healthy to get you through this. But number two, you're also putting the focus on the outside. And you know, it's really dangerous to just sit at home and look and think about poor, pitiful me. You know, that self-pity is such a cancerous and dangerous thing to try and entertain. And so we want to keep our faith active. The third thing I want to encourage you to do, and I was encouraged in this by a dear brother in Christ. He called me up when I went through this situation in life, and he said, hey, you need to find seven people to talk to. He said, if you just have one or two, you're going to wear them out. But he said, you find these seven people and go and talk to them. And that was some of the best advice that I ever got. And so the third thing I want to tell you is, you know, she said, hey, go find a grief counselor. I want to encourage you to find some spiritual counselors and seek some counsel during this time. You know, the Proverbs writer says, I want to give you several Proverbs here, but the first one I want to share with you is Proverbs 24 and verse 6. The Proverbs writer says, for by wise guidance you can wage your war, and an abundance of counselors there is victory. Make no mistake, if you're dealing with grief or loss or some other spiritual struggle right now, that you're waging a spiritual war. And he says that it's in the abundance of counselors that there is victory. You know, if you sit on something and just let it inside and you don't let it out, it can really cause you some problems. And other people may not be able to help you that otherwise could. In Proverbs 14:10, the Proverbs writer says that the heart knows its own bitterness and no stranger shares its joy. And what he comments on there is that no one else can just know how you feel or what's going on. And it may be that you're embarrassed. Let me just share this. It may be that you're embarrassed. I remember when I ripped one of my best friend's Christmas cards in half and threw it in the trash can. I was so ashamed of that later. And I felt so silly and so childish and so petty. But here I am now looking back, and I realize that was something I needed to do to express that pain and that grief. And so I needed to find someone else to talk to about that and the hurt and the pain. And I did. And it really helped because no one else would know that. It may be that you're experiencing things right now that only you they're unique to you, and only you understand them. And someone else might can help you with that. You know, in Galatians 6 and verse 2, Paul says that we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And how can we do that if we don't know what other people's burdens are? Not too long ago, someone sent me a message and said, hey, you know, there's this person who's dealing with grief, and they keep, you know, sharing it out there. I'm worried about them. And I said, look, I said, by sharing, they are allowing other people to comfort them. And they're that's not a bad thing. People who hold it in and never let it out, now that can be dangerous. And so seek outside counsel. And here's why it's so important. You know, the Proverbs writer said in 18:14 that a man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? And then in 17:22, he said, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. You know, we've heard of these people who literally grieve themselves to death. And so in those sort of situations, what they should have done was found someone to talk to, or maybe even a multitude of people to talk to, because here's what you need to understand. You may have all sorts of strange feelings, of feelings that you're ashamed or embarrassed of, but the truth of the matter is, if you don't deal with those feelings and find a way to get by those and win this war, then they will destroy you and they'll eat you up. And you won't move past them, because here's the thing about grief. Grief is a process that we're meant to go through and reach the other side. Now, that doesn't mean we stop missing someone that's died. That doesn't mean that the pain from something like a divorce or some other family trauma or something like that, that thing will ever just be gone. But what it means is then we learn how to properly deal with it, and now we can move on and continue to serve God. Now, there's one final thing I want to talk about, and this one might be the most important one of all. And that is, remember that all of God's promises will be satisfied in the return of Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19 that if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If Christianity is all about living a good life now, or as one popular author said, live your best life now. If that's what Christianity is all about, then we're the most pitiable people in all the world, because we're called to self-sacrifice. We're called to self-denial. We're called to humble ourselves and let God lift us up. And if in fact God is not going to lift us up, James 4:10, then guess what? We've wasted and squandered our life. We should have taken an Epicurean mindset and just sucked all the pleasure out of life that we could. But we remember that all of God's promises will be completely satisfied in the return of Jesus. Things like when we have someone who dies. We turn to the beautiful promise of John 11:25-26, where Jesus tells the sisters of Lazarus, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And he says, do you believe this? Our faith hinges on whether or not we really believe that Jesus is the resurrection, because when I lose a child or a spouse or a parent in death, how can I cope with that if that is really the end? Well, I don't know how the world does it, but I know how Christians do it. We cope with that using hope. Hope that says Jesus, the Son of God, will bring them back and will reunite us. I'm reminded of when David's son with Bathsheba died, and there in 2 Samuel 12, and he'd been praying and fasting for the child, and he perceived that the child had died, that he got up and he washed himself and he wanted to prepare food, and his servants are just so shocked, and they said, what is this? You fasted and you wept and you prayed while he was sick, and now that he's dead, you get up and you clean your, what's all this about? And he says, I cannot bring him back, but I can go to him. David had that promise of resurrection, that hope of reuniting with his son and his mind. And it's that hope that encourages us and helps us to deal with things that are so dark and difficult. You know, in Acts chapter 3 and verse 21, when Peter is preaching about Jesus and about what he's going to do, verse 21, he says, whom heaven must receive, speaking of Jesus, until the time for restoring all the things which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. A lot of times I'm asked, what will heaven be like? And we have hints, we have pictures, we have glimpses in the scriptures. But here's what I know. That he's going to make all things new. And maybe even to me, more important than that, he's going to make all things right. And so whatever I've suffered, whatever I've struggled with in this world, in this life, I know that Jesus is going to make right in the next. And so remembering in hope that all of God's promises will be satisfied with the return of King Jesus, it helps me to cope with the world we're living in now. Four things: don't forsake your spiritual health, keep your faith active, seek counsel from wise Christian friends, and remember that all of God's promises will be satisfied completely in the return of King Jesus. As we go through this holiday season, I sincerely pray that our God will bless you. I pray that if you're grieving or hurting during this time, that he'll give you healing. If you need help, reach out to me or to someone in your church family. Reach out to your elders, to your preacher, to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and find the help you need, because God will minister to you, and God will help you, and God will bless you. And here's the thing you need to know. He will get you through this time, so that you can sing again the words, "Joy to the World."